I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
I'm so excited. Okay, ready?
You ready?
Three, two, one.
Now, here's a look at what's sunny across Central Florida on 105.9 Sunny FM. Here's your host, Michael Rafferty.
About 14.5% of adult Floridians smoke, and over half of them have tried to quit. More people die from lung cancer than any other type of cancer. And now we have vaping as maybe a safer alternative. But is it? Well, here to help us out with that and joining us by phone is Dr. Ashraf Luckman. Dr. Luckman, thank you so much for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
Thank you for having me.
Well, smoking, you know, it's every year we talk about smoking, and it's a horrible thing, and yet we still do it.
Yes, it's been a challenge now for the past 50 years or so since, you know, most of the bulk of the data about smoking came out. And I can tell you is most deaths in the U.S. Are still attributed to one form or another of smoking. If you look at the top few causes still related to smoking, such as heart disease and lung disease. As you alluded to earlier, the theory behind e-cigarettes or vaping was you're going to give people the nicotine, which is theoretically a major cause of the addiction component, but you're going to remove all the other toxins and carcinogens that are embedded in tobacco. So this has been sort of what people were hoping would be one of the things that will help people who smoke quit smoking. Because to be honest with you, all the research that has been done around the area of smoking cessation, whether that's oral medications, the patches, the gum, they've all have yielded very modest improvements in helping people quit.
Well, the addictive part of smoking is the nicotine, right?
Part of it, yes. So the chemical addiction is to nicotine. There are other, I can tell you, and most people who practice this here will tell you, you know, you can give someone who smokes the same amount of nicotine in other forms, whether that's a patch or a gum, but there's still a psychological addiction. You know, the action of smoking, the action of puffing, the social circumstances. So you have people who are families or friends or coworkers smoke, and it's part of the social fabric of their life. People use it as a outlet for stress. Even heard people use it to help them lose weight. So there are other components of smoking, but you're absolutely right that nicotine is predominantly the most recognized chemical sort of element that causes addiction.
So you're saying that even if we took the nicotine out of the cigarettes, people are still going to be sort of addicted to it?
I would say yes. In my experience, yes. You can give them back the nicotine, and yet when we did replace nicotine in patients, they still did not get the same satisfaction.
That's interesting. And I guess that's where the vaping comes in, because it's sort of, you're thinking you're replacing that part of it, the faux smoke, with the sensation of actually doing it, right?
Yes, exactly. So that was the initial theory that, you know, you're puffing on something, you're holding it in your hand, pretty much like cigarettes. You're still giving people nicotine, and you can adjust the nicotine, you know, so you can start yourself at a high dose of nicotine and work your way down and wean yourself off. But what I've told my patients, and certainly when I counsel them about tobacco cessation, we do discuss, until recently, I did bring it up as an option. The issue I always tell my patients is we don't know the long-term side effects. So I will give the example of when I give presentations, you know, I'll show these ads in the 50s that ran with doctors saying, you know, which brand of cigarettes is the best for your health? What cigarettes do doctors smoke? I mean, I still remember when I was a medical student, you could still see the areas in old hospitals where they would have ashtrays in the patient's rooms, in the hospitals or in doctors' exam rooms. So it took us decades of research, because these are really long-term side effects. You know, if you smoke in your 20s, most likely you're not going to pay the price for that until you're way throughout your life, and there's very few exceptions. And I think the same, we should look at e-cigarettes, vaping, with some skepticism, because we don't know what's going to happen 30 years from now.
Well, the other thing is that it's not just, you say, well, it's just steam or it's just a mist. There's other chemicals in the vaping, right?
Exactly. So, you know, you're putting something in oil form. My favorite statement from patients once when I was discussing this with them, but, you know, I'm doing the organic stuff. I'm like, you know, tobacco is organic.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a plant. So this whole movement about, you know, being organic. You know, if you study lung physiology, you know, our lungs are basically a tree branch, if you may, you know, a tree of airways. And those airways get smaller and smaller and smaller. And at the end of each of those airways, there's something called alveoli. That's a small microscopic air pocket with blood vessels surrounding it where the oxygen gets exchanged. So the theory behind our lungs, the reason that our lungs exist is you take all this air, you go down to these alveoli, you extract the oxygen from the air, you dump the carbon dioxide, you make a metabolism, and you exhale that. At our peak, it's estimated that us humans will have about 300 million alveoli. And as we get older, we start to lose them gradually. And so, you know, there are mechanisms that, to prevent anything but air from getting into these alveoli because anything else will damage them. So when I tell people when you inhale things other than air, you don't know how our body is going to react, what it's going to see. You know, we had these stories of people in other countries that use stoves in their homes that do not have good ventilation, and they present with lung disease similar to a smoker. So even if you don't smoke, but say you work in an environment when there's a lot of fumes of nothing but pure air, you know, your lungs are going to pay the price for that because they don't want to see that in the system. So there's going to be a reaction from the lung to protect itself from that, and that reaction is what damages the lung.
And we're all different. It's not like every human body is the same. And you could say, well, this guy, saw him, he smoked his whole life and he lived to be 90. Well, that's him, right?
Exactly. So, and I bet you tobacco companies would love, and I, you know, we keep hearing murmurings in the past about research looking at genes. What kind of gene would allow you to smoke? What kind of gene would allow you to drink alcohol and be okay? You know, it's similar to having a gene that gives you, you know, become taller or being blonde. You know, the disease, whether it's heart disease, lung disease, liver disease, cancers of any type, it's a combination of what our genes are and then environmental exposures. And so we know that the environmental exposures, in this case of the tobacco or vaping, we unfortunately don't know the genes that would, you could test someone tomorrow, give them a finger stick and say, you can smoke, but you can't. Until we find that, I tell people you're flipping a coin every time you puff that cigarette, whether you're going to have a side effect.
And the same thing goes for cigars and pipes. I know people will argue that, well, a cigar, you don't inhale it into your lungs, or at least you're not supposed to, but it doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't matter. And the biggest example of that is secondhand smoke, right? We've known for years now, and actually now we're talking about thirdhand smoke, which is secondhand smoke, which is basically if you smell the tobacco on people, you know, as a non-smoker, if you're sitting next to a smoker in a room or a bar or an airplane, that's the reason they ban smoking these places. You're getting exposed to that. You're not inhaling it directly, but it is in the air and you can inhale it. So when people tell me I smoke cigars and I'm not inhaling them, no, you're inhaling it, trust me.
All right, so say you've been a smoker for a while, maybe half your life. What if you just stopped? Does the body repair itself?
Good question. So I tell people, usually our lungs will grow until sort of somewhere in our 20s. That's when we peak in terms of our lung function. Again, on average, there are people different than average. And then the lung starts to decline after that. So every year after age 26 or so, you're losing lung function. And so I tell people, number one, it's never late to quit, you know, unless you're stage 4 lung cancer. And those are the patients that smoking helps them with the stress. I really don't bother them too much about it. But anyone else, it is never too late to quit because you could still regain some. Now, there's certain damage. Once it happens in the lung, you're not going to get that back. You know, once you develop emphysema, which is damage to the structures of the lung, you're not going to get that back. But say if you have asthma or you have chronic obstructive lung disease or COPD, people have cough, they cough, and they have bronchitis all the time. If you quit smoking, that has a good chance of recovering and improving.
And
that's not even talking about, you know, risks on your heart and your other organs that improve once you stop smoking.
I was just going to say that. Not only does it affect the lungs, but it also affects the heart and other things, right?
Yeah. Most cancers in this country, we attribute them to one way or another to smoking. Heart disease, the number one killer in this country. Stroke, the number one, you know, the number two, I think, killer in this country. All these diseases are directly related to smoking. And we've seen, you know, any doctor will tell you, you have someone come in, they have a heart attack, it sort of is a wake-up call for them, they quit smoking, and you see a big difference in those patients versus someone just continues to smoke despite that.
Right. So, you know, there is hope, like, you know, you said that the body can repair itself to some extent. All right, but now quitting, that's the hard thing. So what would be your advice to somebody who's smoking and wants to just quit?
So the first step is the determination to quit. And I can tell you, I see a lot of patients and I tell them, listen, my job is to harass you nicely about it each time. But I really don't force the interventions, which we'll discuss in a second, until the first step is the commitment of recognition. I mean, everyone knows it's bad for you. But recognition on patients or a person's side that, listen, this is too much and this needs to stop. So Once you get that, there are multiple techniques. And most of the time, I do advise people to be part of a community that's trying to quit. In Florida, there's an 800 quit line. There's a website, you know, if you type Florida tobacco quitting or, you know, quit tobacco in Florida, there's a website that directs you to resources. And there's everything. So, and usually we find that it's part of that program and multimodal, meaning where, you know, there are pills you can take. There are patches, there's gum, there's hypnosis. There is sort of being in a support group, even e-cigarettes, despite all the issues surrounding them now. And not everything works for everyone, and some things work differently on people. And then there's these people that, you know, have had a few patients that come from the hospital with a life-threatening emergency, such as very bad pneumonia, they're on the ventilator. And I find that to be a very powerful motivation to quit, because quitting is not easy. I mean, have you seen patients go through it? Have you seen family members going through it? The stress associated with trying to quit is significant. And so I always tell my patients in the hospital, I like to tell them, remember how bad you felt coming in here when you can't breathe and you're scared about your life. That is the compromise next time you want to have that possibility. And I think the psychological part of quitting rather than the chemical, that plays a big role in that. And I find that my most successful patients in terms of quitting are the ones that unfortunately are faced with those life-threatening emergencies.
That's true. And just talk to anybody who has asthma and they will tell you what that fear is.
Yeah. You know, if there is a way to mimic that, if there is a way to take someone with an end-stage lung. So those are people, and you're not like cancer, like you'll die in 6 months and you really suffer for sometimes decades. You can't take a shower. You can't finish a sentence. You can't go to the mall. You can't play with your grandkids if you have grandkids, or do anything for that matter without having to huff and puff. And there's a way to mimic how those people feel. And one of them told me, I wish I would know how this feels when I was younger, because I can guarantee you that would have made me quit. Because again, remember, I mean, we you know, okay, how dare you not quit? But the power of tobacco is unbelievable, and that's why these companies still make billions and billions. I mean, we've known about the bad side effects for decades now.
Right, and vaping isn't the way, I don't think so. I mean, you're still putting something into your lungs other than oxygen, and your lungs weren't made for that.
Exactly, and I tell people, initially, you know, the consensus in the medical field was, if you're using vaping as a bridge to not smoking, that is one thing, right? And that, I think, is still a valid and is one of the options, right, available to people, in my opinion, despite the other issues which we can discuss. But it should not be seen as a safer alternative, or even worse, it shouldn't be people who, the thing that really gets to me sometimes when I see younger people who never smoked in their life and they're picking up vaping or e-cigarettes. Like,
right.
Why should you get yourself, you know, you're getting yourself addicted to something for no good reason whatsoever.
Well, as you said up front, you know, more people die from lung cancer than any other type of cancer. And some of those people don't smoke and they still get lung cancer. So you're not really helping yourself if you do smoke.
And it's not the most common cancer. And this is a big thing that people don't realize. You know, lung cancer is by far, I think it's number 3 or 4 on the most common cancers in terms of incidence, number of patients with cancer. But by far has the most number of causes of death in the country. And the reason, part of that is that our lungs don't have pain fibers. So you would have, there's no really very good tests. We do CAT scans now in certain high-risk patients every year. But in anyone else, you can have a mask going in your chest for years, or well, not years, but probably months before you feel anything. And by then, usually it's stage 4. And it's not curative as far as technology right now. And that's why most deaths from lung cancer is because we discover most of those cases fairly late.
Well, if you want to quit smoking, there's lots of things you can do. You can go to the American Cancer Society website. You can go to your local doctor, your physician, and just say, help. Because it is an addiction. And don't mistake it with anything else. Like anything else you want to quit, it is an addiction. And they can help you, right?
Yes, exactly. There are resources for you. This is not on your own. And I tell people, you know, anyone who works in this field is not going to judge you, because we see it. We see it. It is a very powerful addiction. And again, the key is it's never too late to quit. I've had patients, you know, who are 60 or 70, and they're still functional. They tell me, listen, I've smoked all of my life. I'm not going to quit. I'm like, why not? You may still have 30, 40 years ahead of you. Why jeopardize the quality of life?
Exactly.
It's not just about, it's not a black and white thing. You can live, you can still live, but the chances that will impact your quality of life later on in life, you know, affect your ability to do and enjoy things. It's still significant.
That's true. You got to think in the long term. Well, Dr. Ashraf Luckman, thank you so much for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.